Support for this podcast is provided by Paradox, the conversational AI company helping global talent acquisition teams at Unilever, McDonald's, and CVS Health get recruiting work done faster. Let's face it, talent acquisition is full of boring administrative tasks that drag the hiring process down and create frustrating experiences for everyone. Paradox's AI assistant, Olivia, is shaking up that paradigm, automating things like applicant screening, interview scheduling, and candidate Q&A, so recruiters can spend more time with people, not software. Curious how Olivia can work for your team? Then visit paradox.ai to learn more.
There's been more of scientific discovery, more of technical advancement and material progress in your lifetime and mine than in all the ages of history.
Hi there, this is Matt Alder. Welcome to episode 393 of the Recruiting Future podcast. For many years, I've been reading about the work UK retailer Timpson does to hire ex-offenders and other marginalised groups. What they do is a win-win-win situation. It's a win for the ex-offenders who get a job. It's a win for society, as employment is a crucial part of breaking the reoffending cycle. And it's a win for Timpson, as they get access to a large pool of talent. Now, more than ever, employers need to be challenging traditional policies and beliefs to think differently about hiring. With that in mind, I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Darren Burns, Timpson's National Recruitment Manager and head of the Timpson Foundation, to the show. As well as running Timpson's own ex-offender hiring initiatives, Darren also advises other companies looking to do the same thing. And he has some unique experience and advice to share. Hi, Darren, and welcome to the podcast.
Good morning, Matt. Good to be here.
An absolute pleasure to have you on the show. Could you just introduce yourself and tell us what you do?
Yeah, so my name is Darren Burns, and I'm the head of recruitment for the Timpson Group. I've got a really interesting job. So essentially, I look after our ex-offender employment scheme and the Timpson Foundation, which provides training and employment opportunities for marginalised groups, predominantly ex-offenders, but also military veterans, long-term unemployed people and disabled people.
I've got so many questions to ask you about that and the work that you do. Let's just start with a bit of context for people who are listening. So there'll be people outside the UK listening who may not have heard of Timpson before. Could you just give us a bit of introduction to the company?
Of course, yeah. So Timpson, one of the oldest businesses in the UK. We were founded back in 1865. By our current chairman, John Timpson's great-great-grandfather, William Timpson. So all those years ago, we had one single store in Oldham Street in Manchester where we used to manufacture and sell shoes. So obviously over the years, we've managed to kind of diversify and expand, and we offer lots of kind of niche services now to the public. So the services that we offer the public now are shoe repairs, key cutting, watch repairs, engraving, dry cleaning, photo ID, tablet repairs, phone repairs. So again, because we've constantly kind of evolved and diversified, we've been able to maintain our position on the UK high street. Over the years, we've had a number of quite important acquisitions. So probably the most notable and arguably the most important was back in 2003 when we acquired Mr. Minute, who were effectively our only UK competitors. Mr. Minute actually still exists in Europe, but not in the UK anymore. We also acquired our photo businesses back in 2008, namely Snappy Snaps and Max Spielman, and they provide photo processing, digital photo gifts, mugs, mouse mats, canvases, photo ID. And in 2014, we acquired Johnson's The Cleaners, so we're now the largest dry cleaning business in the UK too. In addition to that, we own a number of pubs and restaurants. We have a chain of barbershops. We've got facilities in China. We've got the largest mobile locksmith business in the UK. So quite a big and diverse business. We employ about 5,500 colleagues. We turn over up to £7-8 million a week.
It's an absolutely fascinating business with such an interesting history. Talk us through the foundation and the work that you do.
Yeah, so the Timpson Foundation was founded back in 2002 by my boss, James Timpson. James was invited to a local prison with a number of other business leaders. It was James's first time in a prison. He didn't really know what to expect. James was shown around the prison by a serving inmate, chap called Matt. James was really impressed by Matt. He was very intelligent, very articulate, had a really great personality. So James gave Matt a business card and said, Matt, when you get released, please give me a call and we'll see if we can get you some work. James was good to his word, as was Matt, and we're very pleased to say that. He's still with us today and is one of our more successful branch managers. So from that moment on, James kind of realised if there's one really good candidate like Matt in one small prison in the Northwest, surely there's going to be hundreds, if not thousands, of people like Matt who just need that opportunity, just need that second chance. So from that moment forth, we began to proactively recruit ex-offenders into the Timpson business. Very proud to say that we are now one of, if not the largest employer of ex-offenders in the UK. And currently about between 10 and 12% of our whole workforce is made up of people who we've either recruited directly from custody or who've come to us and disclosed that they've got an offending background. And that equates roughly to about 650 people.
Really interesting stuff. And I suppose that there are, from a business perspective, there are a number of reasons why you do this, aren't there?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, the sort of reasons behind why we employ ex-offenders are split into two main groups of reasons. The first one's being the kind of societal reasons. And we're basically big business, but we've got a big social conscience. And it's very much in fitting with our culture of kindness and compassion to offer people that second chance. And we genuinely believe that people do deserve that second chance. It's important to note, Matt, that reoffending costs the UK taxpayer an estimated £18 billion a year. So anything that we can do as a business to kind of break that offending cycle, divert people away from crime and into employment, we believe it's got to be a good thing. Statistics prove that 61% of prison leavers will reoffend within 2 years of leaving custody. And that is reduced to as little as 19% if they've got full-time employment. So there's clear evidence there that employment is a key factor to reduce reoffending. It's not the only factor, because obviously people first and foremost need somebody somewhere safe to live. They need a support network, friends and family, people to look out for them, care for them, love them. But after that, employment is a key factor. For us, it's kind of simple. By offering people a second chance and offering them jobs when they get released from prison, everybody wins. The offenders win, obviously, because they're not in prison. They're given jobs with great opportunities. The families of offenders win because they're not losing loved ones to long prison sentences. The taxpayer wins because the £18 billion a year tax burden is reduced. But perhaps more importantly than that, society in general, everybody wins because our communities are safer, fewer crimes are being created, and ultimately there are fewer victims. So we just believe it makes real sense.
And I know that you've been doing some work in some prisons there this week. I mean, to talk us through the practicalities of your job and how it works.
It's really interesting, Matt. So I get to meet some absolutely fascinating people and hear the stories. So I think I'm professionally really, really nosy. So I get to ask people lots of questions about obviously why they're in prison and how they find themselves there, and just ask them about themselves and their lives and their... These people often really open up to me, and we're able to make an informed decision at the point of interview. And in most cases, we're able to offer people a second chance and a job with us. We've got four main kind of recruitment streams with the Timpson Foundation. The first one is a scheme that we're a huge fan of. It's a scheme called ROTL, or ROTL, Release on Temporary Licence. This is effectively where we'll establish that we have a recruitment need, and any location in the UK, it could be Liverpool, Manchester, Birmingham, wherever it might be. And because of that recruitment need, I will make contact with a local prison governor and I'd say, hi, I would like to come in and interview 10 men or 10 women for some of our local vacancies. We'll go in, we'll interview people, we can carry out a kind of dynamic risk assessment at the point of interview, and then the interviews continue as normal from there. And our interviews are really, really informal chats just to get to know people. So we ask lots of big kind of open questions, such as tell me about yourself. So when we've interviewed the sort of 10 candidates, I will then feed back to the prison governor and I will say, listen, out of these 10 people that I've interviewed today, I think three or four of them have got what it takes to be a really good fit for the Timpson business, and we'd like to offer them a position on ROTL. The prison governor will then go away. They will draw up what's called a licence, and that individual will then be released from prison every day and do a full day's work in one of our high street stores before returning to prison of an evening. And that can continue in the last kind of 12 months to 2 years of somebody's sentence. So we honestly believe that's the most effective and safest way to reintegrate people back into society following a prison sentence. But again, selfishly, as a business, we get to recruit great people and we get to know what makes them tick, and we get to build a rapport with them before they come and work with us full time. So it's a real kind of credible stream of recruitment. And again, the reason I think it's so successful is because often when people are in custody, they've kind of lost everything. And if you think about it, releasing somebody back into the community after a long sentence, it can be really kind of challenging and traumatic for them. So by coming out with those on Rottle in a safe and understanding environment, with an ability to earn money that they can send to the families or they can save so they can put it towards a deposit for a flat or a car, it just gives them a real kind of genuine opportunity to come out and build up slowly so they can have the best chance of succeeding upon release.
A quick message from our sponsor, Wonolo. Hi everyone, I want to tell you about Wonolo. That's W-O-N-O-L-O. Wonolo stands for Work Now Locally. Wonolo enables businesses to find quality workers for on-demand, seasonal, short-term and long-term work. Ditch the bulky paperwork and interview process and use Wonolo to find quality workers fast and get work done even faster. With flexible workers and no platform fees, you can save on operating costs, meet demand and maximise earnings with ease. Wonolo is available in over 100 markets, including Chicago, Dallas, Atlanta, New York and Seattle. Get workers who are ready to work and spend less time finding them with Wonolo. Go to www.wonolo.com/pod. That's www.wonolo.com/pod and take the stress out of finding workers.
In doing this job, which I know you've been doing for a little while now, what surprised you the most, and what have you learned through the experiences that you've had?
I think what surprises me the most is that I get to do lots of work with other businesses who are kind of keen to employ from this cohort, to essentially to employ people with convictions. It's been really good lately because of the national labour shortages, there are now more and more businesses who are keen to engage with those with convictions. But I think prior to that, Matt, I think my biggest surprise is how employees will openly admit to discriminating against those with convictions. So I think it's as high as 70% of employees openly admit to not giving anybody an opportunity once they disclose they've got conviction. So application forms effectively are torn up and thrown in the bin. So I've always been a bit surprised by that, given that there are so many talented individuals with lots of kind of experience, both personal and professional experience, lots of transferable skills, which would be a huge asset for any employer. But the application forms are just kind of casually tossed into the bin and they're not even considered. So yeah, I've always been a bit surprised about that.
I suppose that brings me nicely onto my next question, which is with all the skill shortages that are happening all over the world at the moment, many, many employers are struggling to find people to come and work for them. And I think one of the positive things that's come out of this is employers are opening their minds and starting to think differently about where they can find people for their business. You mentioned there that you've done some work advising other employers on how to access this cohort of workers. What would your advice be to anyone listening who's considering looking into this as a way forward with their talent acquisition?
Yeah, I mean, I think the first piece of advice that we normally offer to somebody is try and make an appointment to visit your local prison. And I know that sounds a bit kind of left field, but lots of open prisons now in the UK, both male and female estates, regularly have kind of open days. They will welcome employees in to come and meet with the prisoners and talk to them and kind of assess them to see if they're going to be a good fit for their business. But it can be really, really handy because I think generally people kind of build up a picture of offenders as sort of really kind of scary individuals, heavily tattooed, thugs, can't string a sentence together, kind of inherently dangerous and dishonest. And it's simply not true. And all these kind of stereotypes are just perpetuated by the media. And as soon as somebody does go into a prison to meet with somebody serving a sentence, all of these kind of stereotypes and myths just fall away instantly when they discover that these people are just regular people who have fallen foul of the law. And essentially, good people can make bad choices and find themselves in custody. The other thing that we do, which is really, really useful, is that we introduce them to our colleagues that we've recruited from prison. I mean, we've got some amazing colleagues. I've mentioned before, Matt, we've got in excess of 650 colleagues who've joined us from prison in the Timpson business in various roles. Lots of them sort of very professional, very credible, very intelligent, very articulate. And as soon as we introduce our colleagues to these other businesses, straight away, they're thinking, well, we'd employ somebody like that in a heartbeat. So that can be kind of a really useful tool in our box. I think one of the other main stumbling blocks as well for other employers is often the pre-existing kind of HR policy. So I meet lots of employers who will say, well, we'd like to employ ex-offenders, but we can't because our HR policy says we can't. And often these policies are written sort of 20, even 30 years ago in some cases, aren't really relevant and aren't really reflective of today's society. So we just advise people to change the policy. It's as simple as that. Take the existing policy, tear it up and compile a new one. And once that's done and people are able to meet people with convictions and find out that they're not all really scary and really dangerous and they've got lots to offer, it can be really beneficial to their business.
One other thing that I find really interesting here is that obviously as an organization, you're thinking very, very differently about the whole recruiting process and how you ascertain who's right for your business and the process that you go through to do that. And that looks very different to the way that a lot of companies traditionally recruit. What lessons do you think there are in what you do for talent acquisition as a whole in terms of finding the best fit for people and organizations and thinking differently about recruitment in general?
I think one of the most important things is kind of focusing on some of the benefits that employing ex-offenders can bring to a business. And something else that you have to bear in mind, Matt, is that there are 11 million people in the UK with a conviction more serious than a driving offence. So that's roughly 1/6 of the UK population. So to throw that many people on the employment scrap heap and assume that they're worthless, they've got nothing to offer, they're inherently dishonest, they're dangerous, it just doesn't make any sense. I mean, the reason we're so successful is that we're very, very realistic. We understand that not everybody in prison is job ready. Lots of people, unfortunately, in custody have got lots of sort of complex needs and issues surrounding mental health, homelessness, addiction issues, or a combination of all three. And whilst we don't want to consign those people to the scrap heap, obviously, these people, first and foremost, need help. They need access to abstinence-based recovery. They need to be off drugs and alcohol. They need somewhere safe to live. But once all these boxes have been ticked and all these issues have been addressed, then employment is the next step. But that being said, there are lots of people who haven't got those issues in prison. And these are the sorts of people that we meet on a regular basis and offer them that opportunity. But again, I mean, kind of anecdotally, the people that we recruit from prison, very, very hard working, very loyal. They stay with us longer than people that we recruit from other streams. So we've got a retention rate with our foundation colleagues or ex-offender colleagues of about 85%. So 85% of these people that we recruit from custody are still with us 2 years after starting with us. Statistically, they're even more honest, which is always a strange one. But I get a security report from our head of security every year. And on this report, we've got a list of colleagues, thankfully a fairly small list, but a list of colleagues who've been dismissed for gross misconduct. And in our business, that usually means stealing from the till. And I'm pleased to announce that the amount of foundation colleagues or ex-offender colleagues that appear on this list pales into insignificance when compared to colleagues recruited from other streams. And we believe that the reason that ex-offender colleagues are more honest is that they don't want to betray that opportunity, that chance we've given them. They realise that their options are limited. Not many employees will engage with them and kind of seek past the conviction. And because we've seen fit to do that, they don't want to sort of betray that trust. They're statistically more honest. It's also safer to recruit people with convictions as well. Depending on how many businesses kind of recruit, whether they do DBS checks or enhanced DBS checks, if you don't, you're completely reliant on somebody being honest with you. So the strange quirk of it is that everybody we take on from prison, we know everything about them. We know about their offence that they're in for. We know about previous convictions. Whereas somebody who joins us from their street or the job centre, if they haven't ticked that box on their application form that they've got an unspent conviction, we're not going to know. We're not going to ask. So it's interesting to me. We're also able to kind of attract more talent into the Timpson business as well. Let's be frank, we're able to attract people who normally wouldn't consider working for Timpson, but because they have committed an offence, they found themselves in custody, their options are limited. So again, we're able to meet and sort of recruit some very, very sort of talented former professionals. Interestingly enough, Matt, I always think that people who we recruit from prison not only bring a great deal of sort of life experience with them, but kind of a personal resilience as well. And for me, anybody who can navigate the way through a prison sentence and come out the other end still standing, anything we can throw at them as an employer working in a thriving retail environment, they're able to deal with easily. And they've kind of built up that personal resilience from getting through a prison sentence. So one of the other benefits of employing ex-offenders is that many of them are able to turn their criminal tendencies into entrepreneurship. So an example of that might be that we will employ somebody who's been convicted of dealing drugs. And whilst they used to sort of selling drugs and doing deals for illegal substances, now they're able to kind of channel that into more legal sort of avenues. That instead of selling drugs, they're now doing deals with our customers for a half-price set of keys or a half-price shoe repair. So it tends to be a really, really good fit.
Final question. What's next? What's your sort of focus for the next year, 2 years? How are Timpson moving forward with this?
We just want to do more of it, Matt. And I seem to be spending more and more of my time now helping other businesses to set up processes and to see the value and the benefit of employing ex-offenders. So I think we're going to be doing a lot more of that. One of the other interesting things that we're involved with is establishing what's called accelerator prisons. And these prisons essentially have got a real focus on employment, because what I mentioned before, obviously employment is a key factor to reduce reoffending. So my boss, James Timpson, is working hard on that to set up employment boards in various prisons up and down the UK. The idea is that external business people will come in and help kind of set up these boards with a big focus on employment, so that more men and women in custody can leave prison with a job, or certainly a prospect of a job. So really excited to be involved with that, and we think it's going to be very successful.
Darren, thank you very much for talking to me.
Very welcome, Matt.
My thanks to Darren. You can subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, or via your podcasting app of choice. Please also follow the show on Instagram. You can find us by searching for Recruiting Future. You can search all the past episodes at recruitingfuture.com. On that site, you can also subscribe to the mailing list to get the inside track about everything that's coming up on the show. Thanks very much for listening. I'll be back next time, and I hope you'll join me.
This is my show.
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.